Okay, let's learn a little bit. Okay. I wanted to go over this evening. We try to have some kind of a balance, and actually more recently, the shiurim have tilted, not balanced, but tilted more in the halacha l'maaseh realm. So to tilt a little bit back tonight, I wanted to discuss something more from a lumdish perspective, and specifically to focus on some, not nearly all, but some of the issues relating to aveilus, as seen not exclusively, but primarily through some of the very beautiful Torah of Rav Soloveitchik. As some of you may know, Rav Soloveitchik was one, if not the only, Rosh Yeshivas of his caliber who gave shiurim on Maseches Moedot and Hilchos Aveilus. This wasn't part of the canon in almost any other yeshiva. And not to say that the other great yeshivas couldn't have such a beautiful Torah, but they didn't, at least not that I know of. I don't know if there's any other example of it. Okay, we'll go back to the lunch and I'll grab you. Okay. Fair enough. So a few years ago, one of the young Rebbeim in OU was hired by the OU as part of their Masorah project. If you know, the OU has been putting out for now, I think almost 20 years now, or 15 years, a journal called Masorah, which is both halachos of contemporary Hilchos Kashrus, as well as Torah, Mipia Shmua, from Rav Soloveitchik. So under the aegis of this Masorah organization, they entreated somebody, Rav Eliakim Konigsberg, who was a very, very fine young Talmud Chacham. When I say young, I mean almost 10 years older than me. But he was given the task. The primary text he worked with was Herschel Schefter's notes. But he compared and contrasted with other notes and other published works, and he put together a very, very beautiful sefer called Shiurei Harav, the first half of which is on Inyanei Aveilus, the second half was on Hilchos Tisha B'Av. And not only was he mesader the shiurim in a very beautiful way, but he also, you know, added even comparing and contrasting footnotes. And since then, he himself has actually published another volume of this, which is even twice the size of this, on Yeridea Chelek Aleph, the classical Smicha Yeridea of Basar Chalav and Taruvis and Shkita and Trepos. And a very close friend of mine, Rikani Shaiwich, who happens to be Rabbi Ganek from the OU son-in-law. So last Nasha Smicha and the Kolel, we learned Chala and Shviyat. And the Rav gave shiurim on Chala more than once, and we had Rashefa's notes for that. And he took it upon himself after that to put out another volume in this series, a little bit less popular, a little bit more esoteric, but in the Olam HaTorah, just as important, of the Rav's Torah on Chala primarily, but also on Kinyani Mitzvot HaKli Svaris scattered in various Masechtas. So I want to, not exclusively, but primarily based on some of the second shiur in this Sefer, as well as, you mentioned Velazhin, but we'll also talk a little bit, there's some overlapping beautiful chedushim from the Sefer Divrei Yechezkel. The Divrei Yechezkel, was written basically on the shiurim of Rav Yechezkel Bernstein, who was the one of the yeshivas in Slobodka. We're going to get back to Velazhin, Alan, but we will get back to Slobodka. Okay, so with that Hakdama, we're ready to approach the Parsha. The Parsha is unique, not so much for death. We've had death in the Torah before. What it is unique for, of course, is for illness. In fact, there are many svarim that speak about Bikur Cholim, not in the era, but they speak about it in Vayechi, because Avram wasn't so much sick as he was in pain, but the idea of illness actually was, Chazal teaches, was new to the world. People just sneezed and they died, and Yaakov, though, wanting the opportunity to be aware of his mortality so that he could say his last goodbyes, etc., in a very meaningful way, so he entreated and was, got the affirmative reply from the Ribono Shel Olam, that he would fall ill, and only then afterwards would he did he pass on. So that's what's unique about the story of Yaakov's demise. But Lamaisa, more so than in most other cases, the Torah elaborates on Yaakov's death and the events that both he requested and as well as how they played out in the aftermath of his death. And this comes to us in Parak Nun, where the Torah tells us about his death and the great tragedy. He called Yosef al pnei avi, vayev kolav v'yishak lo. He cried and he kissed him. And then they got together the Rofim, and they sort of embalmed them or something like that, at least temporarily, and how the Egyptians had 40 days of Hesped and Avelis, so to speak, for him. And only then, after fulfilling Yaakov's promise, was Yosef going to then lead the charge so that he could ultimately be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So, in the context of this discussion in Pasuk Yud, the Torah tells us, as it describes the Jewish people, who are they're bringing Yaakov to the burial of Masaf Pelah. Pasuk Yud tells us, "V'yavoah Goren Ha'atad." They got to this place, Goren Ha'atad, Asher Be'evin Yardein. Yisbudusham Mispeid Gadol. They pause there for great Hasadim, the Kaved Mo'ed, very emotional, very heavy. The Yaf La'aviv Evel Shivas Yom. And they mourned him there for 7 days. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Moed Katan in Perek Gimel quotes this pasuk as the mocker for Avel Shiva. You see that they spent 7 days. We see from this that there was a concept of Avel. Now, the truth is that Ara Gemara Bavli Moed Katan Dabkaf does look for a mocker. It's not clear if it really found one or not, but it does look for a mocker. Seems like it's more Midrabanan there, second from Navi, for Avelus Shiva, but the Gemara Bavli never even mentions this pasuk. This is not one of the suggestions. The Tosfos on our Gemara in Moed Katan obviously is bothered by that, and Tosfos points out what's the obvious problem is using this for a mocker for Avelus for Shiva. Very simple timing issue. That's already too sophisticated. More basic, the timing. This is Shiva, this is before the burial. Right, that Tosfos says, how could you have a mocker for Shiva? That's by definition after burials, we'll see momentarily. How could that be? Here the Shiva, or this whatever Avelus that they had, was before the Shiva. So that's, in a very basic, in a very real way, when you get to the heart of the question of what's the nature of Avelus, and more basic, is Avelus a Raisa or not? So, at least in the Yerushalmi, our pasuk is very significant from our parsha, and Tosfos explains why perhaps the Bavli would not use that. If you take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Avel, could you give me that at the end of the show, please? The Rambam Hilchos Avel, in Paragraph, this is a massive machlokas Rishonim. There is a majority opinion, no doubt, but there's a lot of Rishonim who come to play on this machlokas of whether Avelus is Oraisa or not. And there's basically three shitos. There's two predominant shitos and one more minority shita. The Rif quotes a Deya that all 7 days of Avelus are the Oraisa, perhaps as the Makar based in this Yerushalmi, that all 7 days, all of Shiva is Oraisa. That is a Das Yachid, but there is such an opinion quoted by the Rif. A second opinion, which I didn't count up all the Rishonim, but my impression is that it's maybe the second most, but not the most, the second most popular shita, is that it's entirely 100% Midrabanan. And what is one of, if not the more, the primary shita, is among others the shita Sarambam, who tells us, in Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, that it's a combination. Mitzvot Asay, Rez Abel al Kovim, says the Rambam, there is a Daraisa component of Avelus. Again, not at all from our pasuk, but actually from a pasuk in Parshas in the Sefer VaYikra in Perek Yud. Shenemar ba'achalti chatas hayom etei v'einei Hashem. However, says the Rambam, don't think that this is the shita of the Rif, or the Rif to go on him. Why? The Einav Ezra Torah Elabiyom Rishon Delvad Shehu Yom Hamitzav Yom Kura. You have a Yom HaMitzvah, Yom HaKruvah coincide, says the Rambam, and this I think is the majority opinion of Rishonim, I think it's the Shulchan Aruch since the Paskin, that Yom Rishon of Avelus is Doraisa, and the rest, Avol Shar HaShiva, says the Rambam, Eino Din Torah. I, the Avol Pi Shenemar B'Torah of Yach Aviv Avel Shivas Yomim. So the Rambam doesn't have Tosus' problem with our Pasuk and our Parsha, the Rambam has Alan's problem. Since then, Nitna Torah, right? That's Pre-Matan Torah. Now we've had Nitna Torah, and it's Tasha Halacha. So Tasha Lamaisa, something happened, says the Rambam, Umoshe Rabbeinu, Tikim Hem Yisrael, Shivas Yimei Avelus, Shivas Yimei Mishta. So, right, you can't get an earlier Takana than that. It wasn't Yibimei Ezra, I think that's like a Dolo. It was even earlier. A Takana of Moshe, but it's still a Takana, not a Daraisa, says the Rambam, was extended perhaps patterned here after what happened with Yosef and Yaakov, but to have a full Shiva, and again for a corresponding Shiva Sinai Mishnah, which we'll see, as you know, from the same Gemara in Ksubis in the beginning. Sometimes those can conflict, and in fact we'll try to relate to that Gemara in a few moments. So that seems to be the primary Shita, one of the Shitas of the Rambam. I think it's the majority Shita, and also I think the one that the Shulchan Aruch seems to presume to be the correct one. The Avelos Yom Rishon is the Raisa, the rest is the Rabbanan. So that's the basic groundwork of the Sugya, and perhaps one could have, although we won't, you know, delve more into this machlokes and back and forth on the riots and who's right and who's wrong. But for now, let's just leave that as a given, as a halacha, and as a background to really the heart of what I want to get to. If you take a look at the next halacha in the Rambam, the Rambam addresses a very basic question. This is really will be our launching point for, I hope, some very interesting lumbish discussions. And that is, when do the halachos of Avelus start? Well, you can't wear leather shoes, and you don't sit on a high chair, you don't wash yourself. There are other halachos which the Shulchan Aruch describes, which are no longer our minhag. Kfiyas hamita, turning over the bed, kipas harosh, had some special thing over their head, which doesn't really correspond, but there are some people who have a minhag. Very rarely do you see it, but there are some people who are machmir to wear a hat all of Shiva. It's very uncomfortable, the longer you go through. But those who do it, they see it as a correspondence to this Atifas HaRosh. But Lamaisa, you have all these halachos, right, which Lo Aleinu we should never have to know of. When does that start? When do the Dine Avelos, when do the Yisuri Avelos kick in? So the Rambam addresses that very fundamental question in Halacha Beis. Me'emasa Yitzchayiv Adam Ba'ovel. When does one become chayiv in these Dine Avelos? Says the Rambam, Yishyistam HaGolel. At the end of the burial, when they finally do what we call Simas HaGolel, you've been at a burial recently, if you've been paying attention, you may realize that the rabbi at the end, after everyone's dug, he'll take the shovel and he's trying to draw an outline to make a seal and sort of say, this is a kever. That's more or less what we call Simas HaGolel. It's the final completion of the Kvura. Says the Rambam, you know when you become an Avel, you know when Dine Avelos starts, that is only after that. Almost cold, mashallah, nikkar, until that moment, until the burial is complete, eino aser v'davar min hadvarim sha'avol aser behem. You're not at all aser, and in fact, he brings a raya from David HaMelech, who washed himself when you might have thought he was an avel already before a burial. That's a Tanakh story, not for now. So the Rambam says this, and he kind of, the way he says it, me'emifying with a raya from David HaMelech, you get a sense that he feels like he's almost telling you something significant. Now, those of you who never have ever been through this, this is actually doesn't sound like significant. This is like Aleph Beis. This is like part of like the rabbinic routine when I sit down with somebody, Nebuch, in that transition period. I always explain to them that right now you're not an Avel. Avelus begins. What's the most common practical issue for when Avelus begins? The shoes! Everyone wants to know when do they got to take off the leather shoes. So the answer is, well, you know, if it's cold and it'll be in Chicago, maybe you're not going to want to do it in the grass, but some people put it already on when they're back into the limousine, or even when you get back to the house, it's probably okay. You don't need to do it at the funeral. You don't even need to do it at the Kura. You're not an Avel yet. Right? Everybody knows that. That's the Sheet of the Rambam. It's almost like a given. So the reason it's not such a given, and really the reason why the Rambam is aware that this is an important thing to say, is because there are others who disagree. The Ramban. One of the most important makaros that we have for Hilchos Avelos, and other areas of Halacha as well, but specifically Hilchos Avelos, is the essay that the Ramban wrote called Torah Sa'adam. It's included, if you have the Shevel edition of the Kisnei HaRamban, the Kvati writings of the Ramban, is the two volumes that Shevel put out and edited with his footnotes, Kedarko, V'chochmo, V'chodesh. So this is in the Shevel edition. But it's, you know, the Rishonim knew about it before Shevel made an edition. The Kisvei HaRamban has the Torah Sa'adam. And the Ramban there is of the opinion that even before the burial, there are Isuri Avelos which are practiced, with three exceptions, each for perhaps their own reason. But the Ramban says that Kipas HaRosh, covering your head, removing the shoes, even the Ramban is mode of the removing of the shoes, as well as turning over the bed, the Ramban was mode did not apply. But other basic halachos of Avelos, which certainly are quite a few others, Ramban believed those began immediately.
Even walks in own ones.
Correct. Exactly. We usually use a phrase about Onin, and in fact, there's a famous comment, at least that some of the Rishonim very much subscribe to, of Anina's Lachud, Avela's Lachud, you know, like the brick wall separating the two, and perhaps that's Shitas HaRambam, perhaps. There's other Torah here that actually the Talmud speaks that in Siman Aleph of the paper, the name of the Rambam, perhaps are human or Avela's in what we call Anina's, but that's, we don't have time to get into that. But Bapashtas, in terms of the actual halachos, the Rambam seems to make a very clear demarcation, whereas the Ramban apparently felt that that was not the case. There is a Gemara which seems to be Bapashtas, a raya for the Rambam. The Gemara Moed Kotman, Al-Kav Gimel, on the Beis, has a debate about the following. Let's say someone becomes an Onain over Shabbos. Either the death happened on Shabbos, or death might have happened late Friday, there was no time for a burial. So the Shaila that the Gemara specifically is discussing is, will the Onain be Usur, the Tashmir Shamita, his wife, over Shabbos? That's the Shaila that the Gemara is discussing in Moed Kandak, Chav Gimel. And then the Gemara itself suggests, well, maybe this is probably on an earlier Machlokas, which is there Avelus at all? Not his own name, is there Avelus on Shabbos? And then the Gemara Zohar says, man, you can't say those two Machlokas are Haba Hataya, because even the one who's Mekil by Kashmir, in this case, that's just referring to Aninus, Akati Lochal Avelus Alei. Which is really the earliest source of this notion, which I alluded to, that's more well known from Rishonim, but really the Gemara itself seems to be making a fundamental distinction between Aninus on the one hand, which may have Lechul Lechover its own Alachos, and Avelus on the other hand. The Vapashas is a proof for the Rambam that you see the Gemara is staking out clearly Turk. Right? There's before this side of the 50 and that side of the 50. Right? And Aninus Lechod and Avelus Lechod. So what's going to be the Ramban's answer? Well, the Rav has a suggestion, which would take me too far afield to give you all the supporting rayos for it. But there is a notion in Halacha that the Rav was particularly fond of in Avelus, but there's other examples as well, especially like in the Chosnida, or anything where there's accounting, that that there's something called, what he refers to as a malos. I don't know if that defies, to me that defies literal translation. What a malos basically means, and for those who are interested, Rav Schachter in the Sefer Ikvei Tzon, Siman Yizayin, has a whole essay discussing this, not only in the Velos, but actually in the Chosnida and other areas. Basically, the idea is that if you have a unit, let's say Sheva Nikim or Shiva, may or may not apply to Shloshim, something like that, you have a unit, so on one level, you look at the calendar and you know what the days are. But the Rav says, no, a malos, so to speak, is like, you know, the word processing. You can superimpose it on the calendar, but it's its own independent entity. Well, Marshall, just to give you one little way to tease out this independent phenomenon, that's how you can have a concept of Mikasa Yom Kikulo. In other words, the calendar day didn't end. If you need 7 calendar days or 30 calendars, that didn't end. The answer is that the malos has its own life, so to speak. Overlaps, it's like sitting on top of the calendar, but that's what the example of Lakula, it has its own, but it's a unit. And you can have time which perhaps overlaps on that calendar day, but may not be counting towards the Malos. I'm being a little bit unclear, I'm afraid, and I in order to be more clear, I apologize, I'd have to get into a lot of other Makaros, which wouldn't let us get into a lot of the Velo stuff. But to the extent that I hope I've been a little bit clear, so in light of this idea, the Rav wanted to say maybe that's how the Ramban understood this Gemara, namely, that remember, when it comes to Tashmir Shamita, hopefully we remember this more often than not, it's not just something, an issue of personal gratification, it's also a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Ona. So Shaila is, can you be Mavato of a mitzvah of Ona? So apparently, he says the Ramban understood the Gemara as saying as follows. Once you have the malos, that's not just the calendar day of Shiva, but there's a new status of the counting of Shiva, so that's strong enough to be docha, the mitzvah say, of the Tashmish. However, is this an onain pater for mitzvahs? Well, that's its own discussion. Again, we take it so much for granted that it's self a machlokas rishonim, is pater, is it usur? So that's the point. So he says, when it comes to the malos, then the mitzvah of onah excuse me, that before, before the malos, and before we started that, when this person's in onain, so he says perhaps the mitzvah of onah is docha the iser of kashrus, as opposed to once the status starts, the clock is ticking, not just the calendar days, but the clock, but the shiva starts, then perhaps mitzvah taseiv avelus is ben docha, how he puts it, docha the mitzvah of onus, of onah. Now, I hope that was a little bit clearer. If not, it's okay. You can leave it. Because what I really want to get to now, is a basic question, which I think we'll be able to provide, I think, three different answers for. Each one is a valuable insight, perhaps, into different perspectives on Avelus. And that is to ask the very basic question of, what is the Bir HaMachlokes? In other words, what is the issue here surrounding, again, leave aside this Malos idea for a moment. Hopefully it benefited you. If not, I apologize for mentioning it. But Michael, we have a focus for Shonen. Do you have halachos of Avelos in the Aninus period or not? The Ramban says yes. The Rambam says no. And the question is, what is the beer of that machlokas? And I want to share with you three different possible explanations of that machlokas, each of which can be developed and used to explain other areas of halachos Avelos. So the first possibility is the following. We have Isurei Avelus. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And we also have this, again, this said, if I have this malos, I have to sit, it's almost, it comes out nicely to use our English terminology. You have to sit shiva. So, there's certain things I can't do, and I also have to sit shiva. Now the question is, how synonymous are those terms? Which is a way of saying, if you want to ask, what is the relationship between Isurei Avelus and the Kiyum, or Kiyume Avelus? So the Rav wanted to suggest the following. Perhaps that question is what's driving this machlokas. According to the Ramban, even though this malos has not started yet, you're an onain, the shiva doesn't start until after the burial. Even though there's no Kiyum of Avelus yet, but you can have the Isurei Avelus, at least some, before this. It's meaningful to consider the fact you can talk about Isurei Avelus before you are even in Avel. There's no Malos yet, that's okay. You have the Isurei Avelus beforehand. Whereas the Rambam of the opinion that the two are Haba Hatalia. You cannot have Isurei Avelus without at the same time, quote, sitting Shiva. Now why is that? Why not? Taka, why not? So for this, we'll have to get to something which we'll get back to as an independent reason, or an independent explanation. But for this, we can reference something that the Rav himself said in the Yortzeit Shir. For those of you familiar with the Shir Mezecha Abba Marizal, one of the last Shirim in the second volume is called Inyani Avelus, for some of these topics we've also discussed. And it's also something that the Rav Yechezkel, the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva, who I believe was a Talmud of Reb Chaim, so it's not entirely surprising that they had similar ideas, say, and that is a diyuk that if you take a look at the Rambam says, the Rambam has this koteres, where he tells you, how many mitzvos I'm going to discuss. So, Hilchos Avel, the Rambam says, how many mitzvos there are in the whole thing? Mitzvos asei achas. He has three los aseis, but those are peripheral. Yet, the Rambam himself, very soon after the beginning of the Hilchos Avel starts, tells us in the terminology of Chazal that an Avel is Usur, but yet Aleph Dvarim. There are 11 different things that the Avel is Usur. What do you mean? How could the Rambam say 11 Isurim? The Rambam says only one Mitzvah Saseh. The answer is because the Isurim, because the Suri Avelos we're talking about, they don't have a life of their own. What they do is if by desisting from those actions, one has not fulfilling a Lo Saseh, but fulfilling the Aseh of being an Avel. To give you a parallel example, and there's a Reb Chaim in the stencil about this, is, for example, perhaps Shivita, maybe even a Shabbos, but certainly the Rambam is implying Yontif. Right? By not doing things on Yontif, there's no los asei that you're avoiding. It's a fulfillment of the mitzvah asei of Shabboson or Shisa b'Yontif. That is a parallel. So it seems that the Rambam Shita is, when it comes to Avelus, the same thing is true. There's all sorts of things he can't do, but those things he can't do don't have an independent life of their own. Rather, they fulfill the mitzvah say. So that itself is a very intriguing idea, which we may use as an independent explanation for the machlokes, and we'll see that they claim other halachos. But for now, I use it just to support the basic contention that the Rav has here, that the machlokes seems to be whether you can separate the suri avelus from the notion of being Rava or sitting Shiva. The Ramban implies that you can, never he even imagines certain halachos applying before you become an Rava, i.e. before burial. But the Rambam holds that no, there's no such, it doesn't make any sense to talk about Isuri Avelus before you're talking about sitting Shiva. And obviously you're not sitting Shiva until after the burial, and therefore the Rambam says none of those halachos apply before the burial. I mentioned it as a marshal. You'll take a look. There's a whole Torah there, but I'm using it only as a marshal, so I don't want to get bogged down in Yontif. The bottom line for us is Avelus is this the notion, again, which the Ramban seems to deny. Now, what's the makor for the Ramban? It may very well be there's a rush, which we'll come back to perhaps also. There's a rush in the Sechas Ayin, in the fourth parak. So that one of the overlaps is, you see it in the sefer from the Rav of Inyani Avelus of Tisha B'Av. And in fact, for those familiar with the Rabbi Fran's sefer, it's about Inyani Avelus, but almost every essay is about Halacha X as an Avel and on Tisha B'Av. Still in the Tisha B'Av, as an Avel for Tisha B'Av. Kamtar for Avel and Tisha B'Av. There's a lot of overlap, and the reason is because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Tainis that the laws of Tisha B'Av are learned from Hilchos Avelus. However, the Gemara, excuse me, that's what the Gemara says, stop. But if you take a look at the Rosh there, the Rosh says that that's only limited to the lo saseis, such as v'chitza. You're not allowed to have v'chitza, you're not allowed to wash yourself. But the mitzvah sasei, such as turning over the bed, tiyasamita, so that doesn't apply to Tisha B'Av. So you see from this Rosh one thing that's important, is that the Rosh imagined that the lo saseis of Avelus are really lo saseis. And therefore you can distinguish them from the aseis. But according to this explanation that we're saying from the Rambam, that is unintelligible, because even the things you can't do aren't lo sases, they're ways of fulfilling the overriding mitzvah sases. So this Ramban and Rosh may be together, whereas the Rambam may be, so to speak, on the other side.
So specifically, what does the Ramban say, what areas of Avelus do apply before the burial?
The Ramban says, this again, this is in the Torah Adam, the Ramban says that everything but Atipas HaRosh, removing the shoes, and turning over the bed. Now, Kriya is a separate halacha. Don't get confused. Kriya is a separate halacha. Kriya may very well be before Bela. Kriya has nothing to do with when we do it. It's clear from the Gemara and even the Shulchan Aruch that in theory Kriya can be done at different times, and in fact there's different communities that do Kriya in different places. So Kriya is its own halacha. But again, you take a look at the Rambam here, the Rambam lists 11 things, we don't have the minimum for all 11. But of those 11, so the Ramban says 8 would apply even before the burial, but 3 afterwards. So again, and this machlokas may be, again, about this notion of can you separate the Yisurim from the general notion. So let me give you another example where this may bear itself out, again, between the Ramban and the Rambam, just so you see this machlokas has legs. It can apply and help us, this explanation can help us understand other things as well. And that is the following. The Gemara Masechta Ketubos, before the thing, Sugya, which discusses what you do catastrophically and tragically if there's a death before a wedding, which we'll get to. But the Gemara talks about there, once it's on Avelus topic, is there Avelus on Yontif? Again, we take so much for granted, but the Gemara obviously is not taking it for granted. And the Gemara seems to say there that there is no public Avelus on Yontif, but Dvarim Shepet Sina, private fulfillments of Avelus, things which otherwise people don't know about in their home, so Dvarim Shepet Sina are going to be practiced. If you take a look at the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, the Ramban paskens this way, and it's not a great Zechidush. The Ramban is just quoting the Gemara. Not this, Dvarim Shepet Sina are knowing. What is surprising, and what is a Chiddush, is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avel and Perek Yud. Halacha Gimel. Says, Haragolim on the holidays, V'chein Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, Ein Dover Mi Divrei Avelus Noheg Behen. Period. The Rambam in no way allows for Dvarim Shabbat Sinah on Yom Kippur as well. So you have two kashas. One is the obvious one, which is what does he do with the Gemara? And the second one, of course, is, well, why? What's the Gemara? So what does he do with the Gemara? So the Vilna Gaon already points out that there are other Girsas of the Gemara, and other Girsas, some have it Shabbos. Which, again, there is a phenomenon as well, Jerusalem is on Shabbos. So maybe the Rambam came out of the Gemara. But the Shaila is more interesting than the Girsa, is what's the Svara? So the Ramban knew that too. The Ramban, again, the Gemara seems to say that the Dvarim Shabbatzin is not a problem. After all, just to flesh out the point, you remember the famous Gemara that asks why Yontif can cancel Shiva, and the Gemara says what? That you're not gonna, what are you going to say? That the Avelos the Yachid is going to come be Mavasel, the Simcha of the Tzibur? Right? So the Simcha of the Tzibur. So that's true for the public things. The public things conflict with the Simcha of the Tzibur, but Rav Shabbatzin, that's the Ramban. That's not going to be a conflict. You have to keep those things.
When you're
out in public on a Shabbos or Yom Tov, you don't have, again, people are always comfortable, but you have to post in any way, act differently to people. You shouldn't, you could say, Shalom, you're not, any action on the contrary, that's the Baruch Shabbat for Hesky, you're not supposed to give any public indication. But,
so, the Tinnah, what do we, in other words, what we're talking about, the most important parts of it, or
it's this general circumscription.
I was just wondering that the practical thing, in other words, that the Chazal were not going to say, you can't feel bad because it's Yom
Tov. Well, actually, they do try to say that. That is true. No, that is that is something that you're supposed to, especially in public, you're supposed to try. Right, but even that, I tell, you know, I think the general minhag is to tell people, again, sometimes it requires superhuman effort, but at least great human effort, for sure, to try to avoid that on Shabbos. That itself may be a problem, again, but certain otherwise very basic things, so those are tried, those are avoided, you know, as I say, not in public, where that would be a conflict with the covenant of Shabbos or Kavod Yom Tov, but in private. So what is the issue that underlies this machlokes? And l'chaora, the Rav is so beautiful. He says, mamash fits like a glove. Because we know, to take an example, someone has already started Shiva, right? And then comes Yom Tov. So what happens? It cancels, right? So what does that show you? That obviously Yom Tov and Avelos, there's no kiyum of Shiva, no kiyum of Avelos on Yom Tov. They're mutually exclusive. So according to the Rambam, you can never have any Isri Avelos when you don't have a Kiyum of Avelos. So what, it would make no sense to be Machmer on this Baruch Shabbatino when you're not fulfilling any Kiyum anyway. Whereas according to the Ramban, who before the funeral told us you could have Isri Avelos without the Kiyum, here also, on Yosef, even though he may admit that there's no more Kiyum, but still you can have some level of Nihuge Avelos, because he views them as separable, whereas the Rambam held that they were inseparable. So, Mamash, you see two different examples where the Ramban and the Rambam are consistently with Shitasam, respectively, whether you can separate Yisru Avelis from the Kiyum Avelis, or what we call in English Sitting Shiva, or perhaps according to the Rambam, they are inseparable. Now, I want to mention a second variation of this, which is really now a second possible understanding of the Machlokas, which really emerges, at least initially and primarily, from other Rishonim, but it could be used to go back into the Rambam as well. And that is really starts off, the Rav talks about this from the perspective of Tosfos. Tosfos in Moed Katan and Daf Gimel with Beis asked the Shaila, again, we take all sorts of things for granted when it comes to knowing that the Rishonim were not obvious, because the Tosfos has a suffix. When it comes to givus, like pressed clothes or haircutting, so Tosfos isn't sure, does that apply to an onain or not? So the Pashtus, so what's the topic of the Tosfos? Well, we just saw it, the Machlokes Rambam Ramban. Can you have Avelos before you were an Avel, basically? Can you have Suri Avelos when you're still an onain? However, if that's the case, then it's interesting, because if you adopt it earlier, adopt your testament base, Tosfos there, on the second issue we discussed about Baruch Shabbatina and Yom Tov, Tosfos holds like the Ramban. So you do have Baruch Shabbatina even on Yom Tov. So if that's the case, if you have Drasha Vitzanan Yontif, so based on what we just said, that implies that he holds you can have Yisuri Avelos even without the Kiyum of Avelos. If that's the case, then what's the suffix? Why is he Mesupuk on the second half of the question? Why is he Mesupuk on the question of whether you can have them before Avelos? We saw that the Ramban held them both together. They seem to be consistent. But yet Tosfos seems to separate them out. So Salvation explained perhaps that there's a different understanding of Tosfos. Perhaps the real explanation of Tosfos is something slightly different, which is that you cannot have what he calls Avelos Lachatzon. Even within the Yisurim, forget this Yisurim versus Kiyum. You can't splinter and separate Yisurim. Either they all apply in Avelos or none of them apply in Aninos. You can't have some Yatsum Kalam. Again, Lamarshal, sometimes, like as the example, we talk about this when it comes to Shabbos, right? You can't have Shabbos Lachatzon. Either you have all the Asays and Los Asays, or you have neither. But that's why women's are Zachar, Rishamar, Vidivarechar. We don't split them. Certain things are unified. So perhaps Tosfos held that was his suffix. In other words, in the extent that he's leaning against it, it's because the notion of having anything without the rest is Avelos Lachatzon. So as a Gavra, if I'm Chayiv, I'm Chayiv. And if I'm not, I'm not. I, Shabbos, we do say Zvarm Shabbatina are no egg. Isn't that a little bit of Avelos Lachatzon? So here I thought, it's in a footnote here, I'm not sure if this is Rebbe Yochum or the Rav, because it's in a footnote, but it's a good answer either way, I think, is that you can be Mechalik, perhaps, if you need to, between the two. Because what's the difference? The difference is in the first case, when we're talking about as an Onay before the burial, what's the case? We're talking about my status as an individual. In other words, am I an Ovel or not? Does the Yisrim apply to me or not? So that's a fundamental question. So there, I'm in a question, either yes or no. Whereas when it comes to a Shabbos, or maybe a Yom Tov, where we do sometimes say it, so there, it's not mitzvah the Gavra that I am not chayiv in everything. I may be chayiv in everything mitzvah me. That's the table. Not there, the table. Maybe not, okay. But what's it called? But when it comes to Shabbos, as a Gavra, I'm completely chayiv in everything. But it's the Kedushas Hayom which impinges on my fulfillment of some of the things. So perhaps that is not as problematic to this notion of Avelus needs to be unified in Aves Chatzon. Because as a Gavra, I'm Chayiv and everything. It's just that I can't do certain things to compromise Kavod Shabbos. So that is what the Rav proposed for Tosfos. And it may also mean that this is the Shita, you can just as easily say this for the Rambam as well. Again, the Ramban obviously disagrees. And Tosfos may be hedging. But the Rambam, L'chora, could also hold like this as well. And that's why the Rambam holds. Again, the Rambam may not even split like Tosfos, because the Rambam holds even for Yom Tov, you're not going to say Avelos Lachatzon. But certainly before the burial, you're going to say Ein Avelos Lachatzon. If I either I'm Chayiv or I'm not Chayiv, the idea that I'm going to have some, but not all, that's going to be something that's not allowed. And in fact, just as an aside, a lot of the studies, especially about Aninos and stuff, come up in the Masechta Brachos. Third paragraph. So if you take a look, years ago, the first paper that Rabbi Willing published was on the Sefer Brachos, on Mordechai, and there's a lot of very important Avelos Torah in that paper. So if you look in his paper, Simon Yudalid, so he dug up, actually, I don't know if anyone else notices the word, a Ra'ah. The Ra'ah seems to already have said this very kind of lumnish idea explicitly. That for there to be, he's talking about the Sugya of Avelos Saraita, but the idea of Avelos, which is another thing, Avelos in its pure form, it can't be split. Either it's all or it's nothing. Okay, now I want to mention one last perspective on this machlokes, which is also a very interesting one, I believe, because it'll also take us back to a well-known Gemara, a tragic Gemara, the case of Mark Subas, Tav Gimel Mabez, Zalamat Aleph, where the Gemara describes the Chassan and Kala are right about to go to the Chuppah, and then one of their parents die. The Gemara describes it as the Chassan's father or the Kala's mother. The Chassan's are just examples, although there are opinions that are shown in the Rashi already says, that in his opinion at least, that it's very much Badavka, because it has to do with the roles, and the father's more involved with the Chassan, and the mother's more involved with the Kala. The Pashtus is really not like that, Raji, I don't think, Mahalacha, but that's, either way, you have some very tragic death, when you have Chassan or Kala becomes an Ovel, what do you do? So the Gemara says the following. You know, you're in an impossible situation. How do you make the best of it? So basically, you put the mace off to the side, have the wedding, have the dias mitzvah, then Rashi adds, it's not explicit in the Gemara, but Rashi adds, then you do the tfura, then they have Sheva brachos for a week, and then they go into Shiva, right? An emotional roller coaster, to say the least. That is the description of the halacha. Again, it's very important that Rashi adds, because it's not explicit in the Gemara, that after the bias mitzvah, then you do the tfura, and then you have Sheva brachos, and then you have Shiva. So it comes along the Ramban, of all people, the Ramban, in his Chedushim of Mesechta Ksubis, and asks the Kasha, according to those Gaonim, and we'll add, to make it a little more interesting, and the Rambam, who hold that there are elements, certainly at least Yom Rishon, of Avelus that are the Oraisa, and it's explicit even in the Rambam himself, that Sheva Brachos are only Midarabanan. How can you have the Darabanan of Sheva Brachos come and be Doche, the Oraisa of Avelus? That is the Kasha of the Rambam. Sheva brachos, the idea of having Sheva brachos is only the Rabbanim. It's the Tachana of Moshe. It's the Tachana. The Rambam says explicitly that the idea of having a week of celebration, that is a Tachana. Again, it's an early Tachana. It's almost a Raisa. It's just missed it by one hair. It's the Tachana of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the fact of the Rambam. He seems to give one answer, which I'm not so clear on what he means, but either his primary answer or maybe just a second answer, Rambam says succinctly, very importantly, this is an example of the Chazal being Oker Davar Min HaTorah B'Shei Ba'al Tasha. What do you mean? Davelus is Daraita. So we are just not fulfilling it. Right? We are not going to do it. After all, it says the Ramban, it's Bezin is Oker B'Shei Ba'al Tasha. So comes along the Ran, let's take this slow, it'll come together, I promise. Comes along the Ran, and he likes the Ramban, and he adds a chumrah. He says, listen, if that's the case, what that means is, so all Chazal were telling me is not that I should actively violate Avelus. What they were saying is I should do Sheva Brachos, and I'm just passively not doing. But in theory, the Avelus is like hovering over me. It's just that the mitzvah asay of the actions in the Sheva Brachos I'm having, I'm not sitting Shiva. That's just the Sheva Al-Tasa. Says the Ran, okay, that makes sense, I can hear that, but you have to add a Chumrah, which is, what do you think, that you're going to spend that week doing what all of those Chassan and Kalas do, you're going to go out, you're going to cash all your checks, and you're going to go out for, I don't know, ice cream sundaes in the afternoon, and try on all the new dresses, so you can try on 10 dresses to pick the right one for Sheva Brachos, so we get the fun thing to do. Says the Ran, perhaps Sheva Brachos as a week exists, but the Chassan and Kala should be machmir on themselves that whole week, not to do any other ma'isim shel simcha. Because they're really, that would be an active flouting of, kumba asay, flouting of the children. So, the shaila is, if you take a look at the Rambam, and this was started in part by shaila and the Rambam, you say all this, good, that's nice, makes sense. There's only one problem. If you take a look at the Rambam, he quotes the Gemara of the Pashto. He never adds this Chumrah of the Ran, which seems to be so eminently reasonable. If the only reason we're allowing you to go into Sheva Brachos is because it's only considered Sheva Al Tasa, okay, but then you can't do anything. It's active, you can't do anything. It's Kumbasai. Yet the Rambam never quotes it. So if you look at the Minchas Chinuch in Simon and Mitzvah Reish Samach Dalet, he just assumes that, of course, the Rambam must accept it because to him this logic is so compelling. But the Pashtus, the Rambam doesn't say it. So it's on this point that both the Divrei Yechezkel and Rav Salavitch in the Yortzeit Shir both come up with the same very beautiful answer. And I'll add a three, we'll have all the Shlosha, Eidim Yochum Adavar. There's the sefer, some of you may be familiar with, the Emek Bracha, by Rav Pomerantchik, who was like a Talmud Chavur of the Brisker Rav, a very beautiful sefer. So he also doesn't quote anybody, he also on his own says the same idea. Mamash, all three of them saying the same thing, which is the following. They all assume that the Rambam doesn't quote it, because he doesn't mean it. I don't know, but go out and have an ice cream sundae, go out and have all sorts of fun times. Live it up, you're in Sheva Brachos. Yeah, exactly. Well, let me finish the thought. Why is it that those actions are mutter? Because if you assume the following, Now this is the background we alluded to in the beginning. This lumdus is that really all of the Isurei Avelos are Satam Isurim. They're not Isurim. They're all fulfillments, composite pieces of the Mitzvah Asei of Avelos. So it's true that if I actively do X or Y, so that is, I'm not fulfilling that Mitzvah Asei. But not fulfilling Mitzvah Asei is generally presumed to be a I'm not fulfilling something I had to. So even though I'm being active, in this case I'm going out and having an ice cream sundae or taking a bath or whatever, but I am not fulfilling the mitzvah of Avelos. And the general assumption is, we'll see what the, there's an obvious different assumption which will be those who disagree, but the very common assumption in the general Torah of these preferences and Kumbasei versus Losasei is that we can generally assume that mitzvahs asei equal kumva asei, or and therefore not doing them as a shevat asei, and not doing a los asei equals kumva asei. It's like a logical equation. So if that's the case, if you just look at it when the Gemara when the halacha says shevat asei or kumva asei, so many rishonim assume that those are just synonymous terms of mitzvahs asei and los asei in the obviously in the inverse direction. So therefore, it comes out, since the Rambam holds, as we've seen already, because even though he doesn't see the list 11 Yisurim, he doesn't count any of them as a mitzvah, they're all corresponding and coming together to make the one mitzvah say called Kiyum Avelus. So Lamaise, even when I do all the things that I would be doing to flout Avelus, yes, that's what I'm doing. Because the Torah told, because the Gemara said it. The Gemara said, no, I should have seen a mitzvah first. But I'm not doing Avelus. Yes, that's not fulfilling the mitzvah say. What's not fulfilling the mitzvah say called? Sheva al tasa. And therefore, it's totally mutter. The Ramban, who's all bothered, oh, you have to do Gemara, do this, listen to the dechia of the mitzvah of Avelos. You see from this that the Ramban assumed that those were low sases. Well, let's just say you have one of our options. Either he felt they were really low sases, or there's an explanation we suggested that the Ramban agreed with the Rosh in the beginning of this year, but they really are low sases. The Ramban did not just see it all as one big assay, he thought they were really low sases. Or perhaps the Ramban is arguing and holds, this is something that Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests, that the Ramban is arguing in the lumdus of Sheva Tata and Kumba Asei, and that is that he may hold that if you're actively violating something, even if it's actively violating an Asei, a classic example of doing something with tzitzis, right? If you are if you're walking around with a beged without tzitzis, is that considered a violation of Sheva Tata or Kumba Asei? So if you look at it as, well, you're violating an Asei, then you equate that as Sheva Tata. But if you look at it, is that did I just sit and do nothing, and I just didn't eat matzah, so I sat and did nothing, or did I actually do something? So by putting on the bag and walking around, that's an action. Right? That's the tashas of the milim, frankly, is the kumbah say. So the Eger suggests that perhaps that Ramban is holding a new definition of sheva tasa versus nothing. Not a new definition, but part of that old global machlokas. But that's more complicated. If you just wanted to see it as a machlokas in terms of the issue of avelus, so then we can end to a certain extent where we started, which is that perhaps the Rambam and the Ramban are arguing once again in the context of this question of the wedding, but they may be arguing over an old issue, which is, do you see the all of the halakha of Avelos as fulfilling one mitzvah saseh, or do you see the Isurim as actually Isurim, and perhaps there being a mitzvah say added on? Not only might that explain why the Ramban is more bothered by the Gemara in Subas, and the Rambam apparently has no bothers, he's not worried about the Ram's Chumras or anything like that, but getting back to where we started, that would also explain why the Ramban had considered the possibility of Avelos before the burial, whereas the Rambam felt, again, that until you have mitzvah say, which clearly doesn't apply until after the burial, you can't have any of the laws of
says. The fact that there's another person involved, you have to